Jay, and welcome to another episode of Driving with J9. Today in studio we have Jason Williams. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, J9. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's only a pleasure. I've been wanting to chat to you for a while now. Jason, you are known across South Africa, really, as Boost SA.
Yeah.
I've known you for probably 20 years or longer.
Easily. Just be easy with those numbers. You're going to give away our age.
Yeah, too. You know, and you know standard to the car scene.
Mm.
Talking underground, the culture, and so forth. But the reason why I wanted you in today is because I want to talk about car sales.
Yeah.
And you were in that space for a few years as a salesman. And I've never bought a new car before.
Okay.
So I want to talk about what you need to know when you're buying a new car. And I like, you know, my husband and I, we own the house we live in.
Yes.
And I'm grateful for that. But when we went the day to go and find out about, you know, getting our own place, I knew absolutely nothing.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
Exactly. So we went and I said, oh, there's an open house. Let's go check it out. You know, because it was an area I was interested in.
Yeah.
So I knew where we wanted to live, that kind of thing. Went in not knowing anything.
Yeah.
Came home having applied for the house.
Wow.
Which we got.
That salesperson got you good, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. So, and I mean, that's a pretty big purchase. So is buying a new car.
Absolutely.
I haven't bought a car before.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to a dealership, because most people, I think they look at the price of the car and then they think, oh, they kind of work out an installment. They use a calculator and they think that's the only cost.
Yes.
But if you're going to buy a new car new before you walk into a dealership, what do we need to know?
Okay, so I've had a lot of clients over the years, obviously, were selling cars. I've been in the pre-owned car industry. I've been in the new car industry, so I know it from both sides. But ultimately, it comes down to what stage in your life are you?
Yeah.
Are you an adult with kids and you need to buy a car? Mm. Are you a student and you need to buy a car and you're looking for a car because mom and dad are going to help you buy it? Different things are going to determine what you're looking for.
Yeah.
But the way cars are bought nowadays, if we think 20, 25, 30 years ago, if we wanted to buy a car, we'd get the newspaper.
Yeah.
In the newspaper, you'd see the car adverts.
Right.
And then you would choose a day in the week or Saturday or Sunday, and you would walk down, well, locally we would have Voortrekker Road.
Yes.
You know, and just walk dealership to dealership. Or you would go to the dealership of whatever ad you saw and say, I saw this car, and then you would chat to a salesperson.
Right.
Okay. And that's all the information you'd have on the car. The picture and the price and the year, model, mileage, maybe. Nowadays, when somebody, for the most part, when somebody walks into a dealership, they know sometimes more about the car than the salesperson does because of the access to information.
Yeah.
So if you've never bought a car before, what most people do is you jump into the internet and you start looking at various websites. Various automotive websites, and it's going to come down to you buying a new car, or you buying a second-hand car, whatever it is you're looking for. You then research that car online.
Right.
Eventually, you get down to, look, I know I want a Japanese car, or I want a German car, or whatever brand you're looking for. I mean, people are very brand conscious nowadays, or they've got loyalty to a brand. Let's say it's a Toyota.
Yeah.
My dad had a Toyota Corolla. I'm going to get myself the latest Toyota. But you jump online, you can find out everything about that car, and then with these websites, you can see. Let's assume you're buying a pre-owned car. I want a 2022 Toyota Corolla.
Right.
You can then find a list of 2022 Toyota Corollas within the price range that you're looking for. And you can see, okay, there's seven dealers within this area. And you would then decide to go see the seven dealers and talk about the car.
Yeah.
By the time you get into the place, you know, if you've done research on the car, you know what the horsepower is, you know what the fuel consumption is, you know what the servicing costs might be. You can do so much research before you walk into a dealership that you tell the salesperson what you want, and you can make an informed decision based on what the salesperson is telling you.
Yeah.
So that was a long answer to a short question that you had. I apologize. But we've got so much resources nowadays. Jump online on your phone. All the information is there before you go see the car that you want.
Yeah. And often people ask me, what car should I buy? I want to buy a new car. You know, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
And I always tell people, the car that you are asking me about,
yes,
that is the car you are going to buy, and that's the car that you want to buy. And no matter what I'm going to say, yes, or anyone else says, you've already made up your mind.
100%.
And I think when people ask that question,
yeah,
they are looking for validation.
And they want
am I making the right choice?
Yes, they want someone else to tell. They want someone else to tell them, yes, that's the one.
Yes.
And they will ask 15 people until they find the one that agrees with them. Oh, no, you're right, I'm going to get this car. They were going to get their car from the beginning.
Exactly.
They just wanted the validation.
Yeah. So what do I need to know?
Mm.
Do I need a deposit? Can I buy a car without a deposit? What paperwork should you have in order if you're about to walk into a dealership?
All right. So when it comes to buying cars, like buying anything on an account, first thing that they're going to do is they're going to check your
credit score?
That's the one. That's the word. They're going to check your credit score and just see, are you able to purchase a car? Are you blacklisted? You know, they're going to check out all of these things. Once they do that, then they will say, okay, you can qualify for a car, you know, and they would probably give you a number. You can get a car of up to 150, up to 200,000, up to a million, you know. But before you go in to buy a car, you look at the car that you want. Mm. Obviously, people know.
Yeah.
Right? If you're blacklisted, you know.
Right.
Then, you know, don't even try and go get a car. Get your credit sorted out first, because you're going to get disappointed, unfortunately.
Yes.
If you aren't blacklisted and you've been looking after your accounts and you've got a good standing, you know, you're probably going to want to know what you qualify for.
Right.
You know, and then you would go into a dealership. You know, sometimes they've got these online calculators as well.
Mm.
But for the most part, you go into a dealership and say, listen, yeah, I want to get a car. And then they would do the checks with the F&I and that kind of thing.
Yes.
So that's, you need to have a clear credit score.
Yes.
Let's assume that your credit score is brilliant.
Mm.
You can buy any car that you want.
Mm.
It's going to come down to you deciding what car you want based on your wants and needs.
Yeah.
So if you've got the money, decide, what do you want out of the car? Mm. What is it for? Mm. Are you a family? Do you have, are you married? Do you have one kids, two kids? Or do you have pets? Do you do 90% of your driving, 100% of your driving, are you driving into the city in traffic?
Mm.
You know, do you have an open road to work? What are you doing on the weekends?
Yeah.
You know, look at a car that suits your lifestyle,
right?
You know, and then search along that route and see what's available.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, a lot of times people buy a vehicle, even a used vehicle, whether they're buying at a dealership or privately. And again, I said, people look at the price of the car and they work out installment.
Yes.
They're forgetting about insurance.
Yep.
They're forgetting about your fuel costs.
Yes.
You're forgetting about wear and tear.
Mm-hmm. Maintenance, running costs.
Exactly. But what are the other kind of costs? Because you mentioned this when we were chatting last night. You know, like things I wouldn't even think of.
Well, the biggest swear word is on the road costs.
Exactly.
And
tell
what is it?
What is on the road costs,
so,
and what are we looking at?
Okay, so when you go buy a car, let's just quickly go through the process. You're going to buy a car. Mm-hmm. Let's assume the car that you saw, let's use 100,000 Rand,
right,
which is a cheap car, but just for the sake of the exercise, you see a car advertised for 100,000 Rand.
Mm.
You immediately think, this car is going to cost me 100,000 Rand. I'm going to either pay cash or I'm going to finance this car.
Right.
100,000 Rand is where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the dealership and you say, that's the car I want. You have a look at the car, you're happy with the car, you're going to buy this car.
Yeah.
Salesperson says, wonderful, let's get you signed up. You'll then sit with what they call the F&I, and they'll do the financial, the application process with whoever the finance house might be.
Mm.
They are going to add on to that 100,000 Rand. The first thing they're going to add on is what they call an on-the-road cost, which is something that, and this is a very controversial subject, every single dealership does it. Privately owned corporate dealerships, they all do it. They add an on-the-road cost.
Yes.
What the dealerships, there's a little bit of, over the past couple of years, it's actually legal to finance what they call the on-the-road cost.
Mm.
There's a lot of gray area over there.
Yeah.
Some do it, some don't, but it's not meant to be, but that's a whole other conversation.
Right.
Either way, this on-the-road cost is going to be there.
Mm.
What the dealerships say the on-the-road cost is, so you're going to buy your car. Okay, there you said it's 100,000 Rand. I take out a big bag of money, which you can't do, by the way, but just assume. Here's 100,000 Rand for that car.
Mm.
They say, oh, no, but we've still got the on-the-road costs as well. And maybe you want a warranty and maybe you want this. But you say, but no, I don't want any of those things. That's the car, one for 100,000 rand. You know, the dealership has this hidden on-the-road cost, which they tell you about.
Yeah.
And they vary from dealership to dealership. Some of them is 5,000 rand, some is 8, some is 2.
Okay.
The dealership says that this on-the-road cost is, they justify it as, if the dealership has got a car, the dealership has bought this car from somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're now selling it to you. But right. when they buy it, they need to roadweather the car.
Yes.
The car needs to come with the car needs new tires. The car needs new this, new that. There's a license and registration to be done on the car. That's a cost. Right. There's what they call the PDI, where they pre-delivery inspection. They check out the car. Basically, the car needs to be brought to a standard where they can sell it to you. And there's a cost involved with that. And the dealership says that is what the on-the-road cost is. All of those things together. It becomes sketchy because you as the purchaser would say that, well, if you knew all these things, why didn't you just put the extra 5,000 Rand onto the price of the car?
Exactly.
Instead of me, so I come in thinking it's 100,000 Rand, now it's 105,000 Rand. That doesn't, and then there's that back and forth, right? Exactly. So there's an on-the-road cost to consider. Just when you're buying a car, bear in mind that the on-the-road cost for the most part, and people are not going to like me saying this, can be negotiated to nearly nothing.
Oh, wow.
Right? But be very careful with dealing with salespeople and F&Is. There's a lot of creative bookkeeping that goes on in that space, and it's a whole new conversation about what they do and how it gets done.
Okay.
But pay close attention to the bottom line, pay close attention to the numbers you are ultimately being charged. If you are taking the car with finance, you know, then obviously you get a car with finance with a particular bank at an interest rate of whatever. Are you getting prime? Is it a high? Is it a low interest rate? That's another story that can be negotiated.
Yeah.
You know, but then over and above the on-the-road cost, the F&I or the salesperson will try and sell you every other product under the sun to add to your finance or cash, whichever way you're going.
Yes.
They will try and sell you what they call smash and grab, which is, to be very honest, it's necessary.
Yes.
You know, it's good to have smash and grab.
Yes.
You know, but they will add that to the 100,000. Mm. They will try and sell you some sort of a polish or paint protection. Okay. That'll be another cost added. They will try and sell you various policies, various warranties, extensions, services, service plans, which, in all honesty, are good to have. It's good to have a warranty. It's good to have a service plan.
Yes.
You know, but just make 100% sure you know what the prices are and what it is.
Yeah.
But these are things that they will add to the initial 100,000 Rand car that you initially saw. So you've got to go in with your eyes open and don't be afraid to question every single line item that's got a number to it.
Yes.
Because you don't, it's not compulsory. You don't have to take these things. F&Is and stuff will tell you, oh, no, you must take this. No, you don't have to. You know? Although insurance is a must if you take finance.
Okay. So F&I, I'm assuming, is finance and insurance advisor.
Right. These are licensed finance and insurance advisors. They work on, if they, they are licensed to do certain things, and they can lose their license for being dishonest.
Right.
You know, so it is in their best interest to give you what you need, but they will strongly suggest you take certain extras because, look, Jay, at the end of the day, car salespeople, F&Is, all work in commission.
Yes.
The more they sell you, the more money they get. You know,
so more add-ons?
The more add-ons, yeah. Whatever they sell you, the more add-ons they give you, the more money that you pay them, the more money they get in commission.
Right.
You know, so they're going to try to push the envelope.
Okay.
You know, so just bear that in mind.
But what are some other things that you need to be wary of? Because, yes, those things are great. Yeah, like
car
add-ons.
Guys are shady. Sorry, guys. Love you all, but I said it out loud. So be very wary when buying. Look, maybe not so much a brand new car.
Yeah.
You know, if you buy a brand new car, for the most part, it's a brand new car.
Yes.
You know, in the pre-owned space. Now, I'm not going to try and paint everybody with the same brush, right? But like any profession out there, you're going to have honest and dishonest people. That's just the way the world works.
Yes.
Okay. When it comes to car sales people can be very colorful with their words.
Yeah.
Right, when you're going to go buy a 2021 model Polo Vivo. You see one and it's amazing. It costs so much money. It's got decent mileage. I want this car, okay? you go to the salesperson. You could get one of several salespeople
yeah.
in personality. You could have a very honest salesperson.
Yes.
Usually they don't do very well because they're honest.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You get a dishonest salesperson. Unfortunately, they do do very well yeah. because they sell a lot of cars. But eventually that catches up with you later on in your yeah. career. But what to watch out for, if you're looking at, what could a dishonest salesperson do? Salesperson mm-hmm. do?
Mm.
You say you want this Polo. And you ask questions about the Polo. Has this car ever been in an accident? Oh, no, this car is amazing. It was a one lady owner, old lady, da, 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 da. You know, the typical jargon, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes that might be true, you know, in which case you've got a winner. But if he might spin that sword to you, but meanwhile, he knows in the back of his mind, this car was in an accident. That fender was replaced. The engine was opened up and this was done. And he just won't tell you.
Mm.
Or the middle line, other than being completely dishonest, they will just omit certain truths.
Right.
So if you, they won't lie to you, but if you don't ask the question, they won't volunteer that information. So yes, the engine was opened up. You asking about this car, the car's amazing, it's this, but then mileage has got a full service history, da, 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 da. Okay, it's amazing, I'll take this car. But yes, the engine was opened up. They did replace the valves. They did do something.
Yeah.
You didn't ask, so I'm not going to tell you.
Right.
You know? So it is very sketchy. So you need to be wary, but you know the question is, what do you do? Do you call the man out for lying? How do you tell?
Yeah,
you know it's hard.
Yeah.
You know it usually comes to bite you afterwards once you've bought the car
yes.
and you go to have a service done, and the mechanic tells you, "Hey, this was done on the car."
Yeah.
Oh, but the salesperson didn't tell me.
Yeah,
well, it's too late now. You signed the car's yours.
Yeah,
you know
how important is service history, and then also let's touch on that first. Because often, I think it was, there was a friend of mine that was fighting with, I don't know if it was his bank or wherever he bought the car from. So when you're buying a used car, to you, that's a new car.
Yes.
Regardless 100%. Of it being used or,
yes.
or whatever. And I think he was having warranty issues, and he was basically told that they can't fix his gearbox or whatever. Because he wasn't the first owner.
Yeah.
Is that true?
That happens. So there was, look, there's a lot of fine print with this. And yes, that can happen.
Yeah.
Based on the deal that you signed.
Yeah.
If the warranty on this particular car that you bought states, and it's usually in fine print, and the yes. F&I or the salesperson, they are not obligated, but they should walk you through this document saying that, so this particular car has got a 5-year, 150,000-kilometer warranty
yeah.
on the first owner, which means the minute this car is sold, that warranty does not extend to the second owner. That does happen. It's not often, but it does happen. A couple of dealerships, I'm not going to name names, but you've got a couple of dealerships that have been throwing around lifetime 1 million-kilometer warranty in fine print only for the first owner.
Yes.
You know, so the minute you sell that car, that lifetime 1 million-kilometer warranty is gone. You don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so there is that kind of fine print with these deals. Yeah.
That dealership, I believe they've now extended it to the second owner. But again, like I think people just, we don't read the fine print.
Yeah.
We don't.
And the dealerships and the F&Is won't volunteer that fine print because, look, when it comes to just a little bit of psychology behind F&Is and sales, car salespeople.
Yeah.
Car salespeople work on commission, as you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Okay. For you to make any kind of money, you'll get a basic salary. Mm. Let's assume your basic salary is 10 grand.
Right.
If you don't sell one car that month, you'll get paid 10 grand. It's not usually 10, it's usually less, but that's the idea.
Okay.
And then for you to start earning commission, you need to sell, and it changes from dealership to dealership.
Yes.
Let's say, for instance, for you to start earning commission, you need to sell 3 cars or minimum turnover of a certain amount.
Okay.
So when I come to the end of the month, I've sold 2 cars.
Right.
Me selling another 1 car is a difference with me walking home with 10 grand or 30 grand.
Oh, wow.
That is the difference.
Okay.
So I've got you as a prospective customer. It's the 25th of the month.
Yes.
5 days away, this cut goes. If I don't sell a car, I go home with 10 and not 30.
Mm.
I've got you as a prospective customer. You are looking at a particular car. I'm going to need to close you somehow.
Okay.
Now you start being questionable with your models.
Yeah.
Right? And you tell this person whatever you think they need to hear for them to sign and buy this car.
Mm.
And that does happen. All right? So you tell this person anything. Yes, it's got a lifetime warranty. Yes, it's got a service plan. Yes, it's got this. Yes, it's got that. It might not be the truth. You might be stretching the truth or omitting a few things, but making it sound to you as if it's magic, I need to buy this car now. And they will stop putting you in a place and say, listen, I've got another buyer in the backseat that's willing to take this at 5,000 and more. But, you know, because of I'm a good guy, I'm holding it for you because you were first. So I need to make. So they'll play these kind of games with you with the hope of closing before the end of the month.
Okay.
So now they've closed before the end of the month. Salesperson's got his commission. You've signed the document with the bank. Your finance is through. It's done. This is now your car. Whatever colorful, whatever lines he may have crossed with that deal are now your problem.
True.
You know, and yes, you as a buyer, you do have some recourse, ombudsman and all these kinds of things, but it's a lot of work. You know?
I'm kind of getting the vibe that if I want to buy a new car, don't go and buy it at the end of the month.
actually, I got a friend of mine that was just, I'm not going to go into a long story, but she had a car. The car was stolen. Insurance had to pay her out. Yeah. She needs to get another car. And she needs to now buy another car.
Right.
And the end of the month is actually the best time to possibly buy a car.
Okay.
Dealerships are going to hate me. Salespeople are going to hate me. But for that reason, if you know what car you want, it is 100% the car you want. You've done your checks, AA checks or whatever, and we should get into this whole Decker report thing. That's another thing.
Yeah.
But you've done the checks on your car, okay? If you are willing to take the gamble, if you know that this car has been sitting on this dealership floor for the past 2 months, it's probably not going to sell in the next few days. It's the 25th of the month. You've got this car, and the car is 150,000 rand. And it's got the on-the-road costs on it and warranties and whatever else. You know, and you've got your finance in place. You just haven't signed yet.
Right.
This car is yours if you want it today. But you feel, I don't want to pay that 150,000 rand. If you haven't negotiated any kind of discount prior to that moment.
Yes.
You go to the salesperson and say, listen, I know I saw this car, but I've been looking around. There's a couple of others down the road that I'm interested in. Salesperson who needs your job, who needs your sale now for the end of the month is like, oh, God, I can't lose this client.
Right.
I can't lose. Because sometimes, even if the car is sold at a lesser amount, he still gets his number of three, which means he qualifies for commission.
Right.
You know, so he just needs to get this car out the door. Even sometimes they will sell you a car at cost price, bro.
Wow.
I'm not even joking. Because his manager also wants numbers. Everyone there is commission-based based on numbers. Salesperson needs numbers. The manager needs the salespeople, all of them, to make their numbers so they can get their commission. The F&I needs all the salespeople to sell products so they can get their commission. Because, so everybody at the end of the month, get these units out.
Yes.
Short story. Now you're at the end of the month. Now you start playing the game. If you're willing to maybe take the gamble of somebody else buying this car, but if you're confident that this car is going to be here next month, you can say, listen, I'm seeking a couple of other cars. They will start offering, say, listen, what if I give you 5K discount? You say, ah, nah, 5K, well, you know, this car down the road, they're willing to remove the on the road, they're willing to throw in the smash and grab for free, blah, blah. And now you start bargaining. You could easily, and I'm not even exaggerating, you could smash off to, depending on the car that you're buying, you could get 5, 10, 15, sometimes 20 grand off the car that you're buying. 20 grand is a bit extreme.
Yeah.
But depending on the car, if your car is 850,000 rand, you might get a 20 grand because they've got so much in the car and they can afford to lose this bit and they need to get this unit out the door.
Right.
And so buying a car at the end of the month or shopping during the month, but pulling the trigger at the end of the month on that last day, say, listen, you guys, I don't know. They are going to work so hard to retain you as that customer. You can almost call the shots.
Okay, so tell me, Jason, talk to me quickly. I want to talk about roadworthy and all of that.
But, oh, yeah.
But quickly, just tell me, is it wise to go for a balloon payment or not?
Balloon payments, if you're able to not take a balloon payment and do without it, fine. Don't do it.
Can you explain to me quickly how it works, how a balloon payment works? Because most people don't know.
Okay, if I can, without being too complicated. So a balloon payment is like a like paying a deposit at the end of your finance term. So let's assume your car is going to be financed for 5 years. Maybe your car was 120,000 rand.
Right.
Okay. You pay a deposit of 20,000 rand. So now you only get financed for 100,000 rand for 5 years. For 5 years. Because you've paid 20.
Right.
Okay. But you wanted that 120,000 rand car.
Yes.
Alternatively, You say, I want a 120,000 rand car.
Yes.
You know, but I want a slightly lesser amount in the finance. I can't afford to, I want a slightly more expensive car.
Yes.
You know, so you can pay your balloon payment in, you have your balloon payment in finance where you promise to pay the bank. You would get the advantage of the lower interest rate, and it's a lot more complicated than I'm saying now.
Yes.
But you then promise, I want that 120,000 rand car. I can't afford to pay that 20,000 rand now. I promise, Mr. Banker, to pay you that 20,000 rand balloon payment at the end of the term. Okay? So they will treat the deal, the finances, as if you paid a deposit.
Right.
So at the end of those 5 years, you now have 20,000 rand you owe to the bank. Because you said to them, I'll pay the deposit at the end. So now you owe them at 20,000 rand. But this is where people get confused. It's not a matter of, I need to take 20,000 rand out of my pocket and deposit it into the bank. What people could do is refinance the 20,000 rand at a lesser amount over the next year or two, providing that they qualify to be able to do that.
Yes.
Now, it's not ideal because you are paying over a longer period of time. But listen, if you are in need of a car, if you're a young family, you need to get your kid to school, you need to do shopping, you need to be mobile. You have to be.
Yeah.
But you can only afford a certain installment a month. Yes. And the only way you can get that installment and have this car that's going to change your life is by taking a balloon payment. And you know in the back of your mind that your career is on the up and up, your wife's career is on the up and up, the husband's career is on the up and up. You will be able to afford that in 5-6 years' time, or you can at least plan to make that work. But having a balloon payment now will solve my immediate life problem of needing to be mobile for myself, my family. It does make sense.
Okay, Jason, is that why people generally swap out the cars maybe every 3 or 5 years? They would get a new car.
Well, that is one. It's one of the ways to go about it. There's a lot of people that buy cars that will not hold a car forever. They'll hold a car until it's out of its either finance term or hold a car until when they can trade it in, where the trade-in value matches the book value of the car, and they would then trade the car in for the next model up.
Right.
And they would just keep on doing that for the rest of their lives. A lot of people are happy doing that. And then what they would be doing is, if they're taking a car with a balloon payment, and there's a lot of ways of going through with the finance, they can load the deal, and the car came out with the balloon payment, so technically the trade-in value doesn't match the current value of the car. And there are different ways of going about it. So it's not specifically why they would, it's not specific, excuse my English, that they would take out a balloon payment because they are trading in the car later on. But a lot of people do that though. They wait till the car, they can trade the car in and come even with the bank and then move on to the next model up. And just, they're okay with having that expense every month with the thought of having a new car every 3 to 4 years.
And I'm assuming the risk with, if you are not in a position to pay back the bank that money or even have it refinanced or whatever, your car would then be repossessed.
Correct.
Right.
So you need to, that is a risk. Yes.
Yeah. Then I just, lastly, I just want to touch on, you were talking about declare reports and roadworthy. Talk to me about that.
So that declare report,
yeah,
that the vehicles come with?
Yes.
You use it for toilet paper.
Okay.
Yeah, it's horrible. Sorry, Dekra. I love you guys.
Why
long
you
time.
Say that?
No, let me take that back. So what Dekra is, the reason I say that, people think that when they see a Dekra report and it passes, they think this car is amazing. It's got to be the best car, when it really isn't.
Yeah.
A Dekra report is just there, and people just need to understand what it's there for.
Right.
It's a basic roadworthy report.
Okay.
So any pre-owned car needs to go through a roadworthy and Dekra testing.
Right.
And then they would check basics. They would look at parts of the car that would need to pass roadworthy, like your tires. Is there a cracked windscreen?
Yes.
You know, are the shocks shot? Basic things.
Right.
Right. And then if the car passes those things, it passes Dekra.
Right.
But nobody knows. And in all fairness, unless they were told, the salesperson doesn't know if the car was in an accident. Dekra should pick that up.
Okay.
And they would say that the car is in an accident.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But let's assume the engine was overhauled for some reason, or the engine was replaced, or the gearbox was worked on.
Mm.
The decorative ignition can't see those things.
Mm.
You know? So if the car had been worked on before, nor the decorative ignition nor the salesperson would know these things.
Yeah.
Right? So basically, a decorative report is just a roadworthy report. Are the tires good? Are the shocks good? Is the windows cracked? No. It's fine. It passes the roadworthy.
Okay.
You know? But you don't know the niggly bits, the parts, the pieces that could fail later. What people could do is, and dealerships don't usually like doing this, but if the salesperson or the manager wants the sale, you know, they might allow it. You could say, I want an AA report done.
Okay.
And AA reports a bit more in depth. They spend more time in the car.
Yes.
They look at certain things. They look at a lot more on the car than Decker does.
Mm.
And there's a bigger chance of them picking up possible faults in the car, previous work done in the car, things that would need to get it done in the future.
Okay.
But that costs money.
I was just about to ask now. So is an AA report, is that an on-the-road cost, or is that a cost at the dealership? Would cover.
So that if you say to the dealership, if the dealership is hard up for this deal, you could say to them, listen, I want an AA report.
Yes.
They could either agree and say, listen, we'll send this for an AA report for you at our own cost, you know, as a service to you.
Yes.
Or they could say to you, listen, you're welcome to send it for an AA report at your own expense.
Okay.
Right. So I could, if I wanted this car really badly, I said, I'd rather have, give me the car tomorrow or let's book it in for tomorrow. I will pay the bill.
Right.
You know, so it goes for the AA report. So it's going to be a conversation and between yourself and the dealer.
Yeah.
You know, it's not part of the on-the-road cost at all. That is still a separate cost all on its own.
Thank you so much, Jason.
You're welcome.
I feel so much more informed, even as a motor journalist. But I mean, these are basic questions that people really need to know. And I think at the end of the day, you just really need to do your homework.
I think what I can just say in closing, do your homework, do your research on the car, do your research on the warranties available with the car, how many warranties are left, do your research on the service plans. So when you walk onto a showroom floor, be it a pre-owned or new, you know, you just don't want to have a salesperson pull the wool over your eyes. And the minute they know, you know what you're talking about, they ease up a lot and are a lot more honest with you.
Thank you so much.
And you're
thank
welcome.
You for coming in today.
It's a pleasure. And thank you for having me. The coffee was amazing.
That's it for today's episode of Driving with Jana.